This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game!
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you here in the Kia Studios on this Wednesday evening. We're with you for the full three. We ask you to download the Odyssey app. We know you're not in the car as much. You want to listen in. Put the Odyssey app on one of your devices today. You can use your smartphone. You can use your Alexa speakers. You can use your tablets. You can use your Roomba. You can use your Commodore 64. You can use your Game Boy. Whatever your device is, just download it on something to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And as always, best way to be a part of the show, follow us on our personal Twitter pages. I am at JMCH316. That is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. Producing the show, as always, he's had a nice little break from me. He's kind of gotten his mind right on everything.
I wouldn't say got my mind right, but I did have a nice little break from you, yes.
Well, listen, Oren is in the house, at Oren Romaine. Oren, how was we haven't caught up for a while. How was Thanksgiving and all that good stuff?
Thanksgiving was cool. My mom is down here now, so It was her.
And she's permanent down here
permanent
now, right?
Permanent down yes. here now, yeah. So her and my in-laws went over to their house and my wife's family. Little Franklin got to have real Thanksgiving food this year, which he thoroughly enjoyed. So, no, it was a, great time.
How much did he eat? How much did he throw?
Let's say like 70% of it went down. He ate 70% of it and 30% of it hit the floor.
So, I was saying to Dukes and Bell that I've been around Colony Square here lately because—
You want to come up and say hey?
Well, last Tuesday—
I've been here for the past 3 weeks every night.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, and that's good because you got to earn your check. But last Tuesday, we had my daughter's 15th birthday. And, we were looking at—so we did Ponce City Market last year. She likes to go downtown and eat somewhere and all that kind of stuff. So I showed her the website for Saints and Council. Over here. And those guys listen into the show. I know they're big Dukes and Bell listeners. They listen to me as well. They've called in and talked about, listening, and they give us shout-outs on the weekend, stuff like that. But that place, that's the first time I've been there. That place is phenomenal. Phenomenal food. Service was outstanding. Can't say enough good things about Saints in Council for my daughter's 15th birthday.
Was it just you and her, or did she have some friends with
her? No, she had two friends with her. So we had three girls and daddy, and everything was outstanding. They were very accommodating on the menu and kind of tweaking it and just everything about the experience. I don't have a bad thing to say about them. That place was phenomenal. And then Thanksgiving dinner, my daughter and I came down here to Five Church. They had a whole big buffet. It was outstanding. Listen, pork loin, turkey, ham, prime rib, all kinds of sides. Let me tell you what my favorite side was, the chorizo stuffing.
When you do fancy things to stuffing, I call it dressing. When you do fancy things to dressing, it's a favorite of mine. I make this one. It's a sausage and cheese.
Yeah, stuffing is what happens on the weekends afterward in L.A.
We are six minutes in, dude.
Oh.
It is 7:06.
Well, I mean, it's
7:06
and 14 seconds. So we've got that going for us. No, that was outstanding. A really good time. Really enjoyed coming down here and had a couple of great meals. And can't say, I mean, listen, I've been to Five Church before. They do a phenomenal job. That was a fun, buffet, and they were packed. Like they were turning them over. We ate about 3:15, 3:30, and they were just churning them all day long.
Could you do take home too, or was it just what you had to have there?
No, just what you have there. But I mean, I had five or six plates, so I mean, I was
damn
good to
Chuck.
Go. I mean, listen, that prime rib was outstanding. I kept going back for more and more prime rib. And that chorizo dressing or stuffing,
dressing,
whatever you want to call it, I mean, it was outstanding. I mean, I'm a big chorizo guy. Like, I love chorizo tacos and burritos.
Chorizo
and all
is
that.
That's a great taco.
Absolutely,
taco protein. Yes.
Yep, absolutely. So, so we had a phenomenal time there as well. So it's been a busy week. I mean, it's been a busy week here, for my travails and tribulations here at Colony Square. So so lots of fun times, but we got a lot to get into with you here this evening. We will talk to our friend of the show, Tori McElhaney. She's going to join us in about 35 minutes from right now. We will obviously look at Falcons and Jets coming up. What a difference that this matchup looks like today versus what it was going to look like at the beginning of the season, right? I mean, it's... Who's this guy? Susan Boyle? That's the quarterback for them. She's gonna sing.
No, that's the the lady from America's Got America's Got Talent. No, not Susan Boyle. No,
her voice did not match everything. But anyway,
Tim Boyle's talent is a massive fact that he's in the NFL.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Is he gonna sing for us? I mean, maybe he'll sing a song. So this game looks completely different from what it was going to be at the beginning of the season. But, we'll talk. We're going to get into a discussion about something here that I'm going to open up the phone lines to y'all. But obviously a big win for the Falcons. I mean, look, they're 5-6. We'll talk about where the placement is all time in the NFL because I've got a good stat from the NFL on CBS about where this division is. But look. They're 5-6. They're in first place, maybe comfortably. I mean, as crazy as that is, to say. And this is another winnable game. They don't have a team above 500 the rest of the year. Not that we're going to have many teams above 500 to start with, but they don't have a team above 500 the rest of the year. And you got Carolina, who fired their head coach. And how about that interview with Tepper?
Whew. All you had to do was not say C.J. Stroud's name that entire interview, the press conference. That's all. Just talk about why the coach is gone. Talk about how much faith you have in Bryce Young going forward and keep it moving. All you had to do was not say any other quarterback's name that got drafted the past year.
And
David Tepper failed.
And he was trying to diagnose it in a way that just it came across ridiculous, the way that he was breaking it down. I mean, not even just – the idea of Stroud and Young and all that kind of stuff, the way he was breaking it down. They're a disaster. They're the worst franchise in the NFL by far. But you look at the rest of the schedule, it's dreadful. Like, the teams that they have are dreadful. In a word, that's the way you can describe the final, what, seven games, or sorry, six games that the Falcons have, the teams are going to play are absolutely dreadful. By the way, what is it? They would host a home playoff game against the Cowboys.
Against them boys, yeah.
Yeah, against the Cowboys right now. So, look, it is what it is. Big win. They're back in first. We'll talk to Torrey McElhaney coming up here at 7:40. We'll talk to our buddy Chip Towers coming up at 8:20 this evening. Obviously, Georgia, Alabama. And I still think that this is the, you know, outside of the three playoff games, this is the biggest game in all of college football. There's no rivalry bigger. There's no conference championship that's bigger. This has been for years arguably the most important game played in college football because you would have two national championship caliber teams. You know, again, when it was the BCS era and some of those things, when it wasn't guaranteed, you know, a four-team playoff or, you know, again, it was only guaranteed that one team against the number two team in the computers and all that. But this has been arguably, you know, one of the most important games in the history of college football on an annual basis. And this is the two best teams in the SEC. You know, look, I don't think the playoff is that complicated. Florida State wins, they're in. Michigan will win. They'll beat Iowa. And I know Iowa's got some things. Oh, okay, they're going to beat the daylights out of Iowa. They're in the playoff. And Georgia finds a way to win. I think they're in the playoff. If they lose, I still think there's a possibility that Georgia and Alabama make the playoff. If your only loss is to SEC champion Alabama and the cachet that they have, I still think there's a definite possibility that Georgia gets in the playoff. So, again, I think Florida State, Michigan, Georgia, I think those teams win, and then you have to sort out what the Pac-12 is going to be. And that, by the way, will take place on Friday night. So we'll see what happens there. And by the way, I'm seeing more and more mocks that have Bo Nix going to the Atlanta Falcons because of where they're drafting. Because right now the Falcons draft 19th, and that's because of being the division champion. More and more people are having Bo Nix to the Falcons. I don't want Bo Nix. No thanks. But we'll see what happens on Saturday. We'll talk to Chip Towers, a very intriguing matchup. Maybe these are two teams that aren't as good as what they've been in the past, but this is still the two best teams in the SEC, and I don't know that it's even really close. I mean, Georgia's hands down the you know best team in the SEC East. Like it's not. I don't even know if you could have an all-star team that could beat the University of Georgia at that point. So we'll see. Hawks got blown out last night. How's that going so far? What are they or now? They're 5 or 6 games above 500 for the year.
They are one game under 500
what?
For the. They have a better record on the road right now than they did at home.
They're 8-9 on the season and just lost by 25 to get knocked out of that FACACTA play-in tournament. So it's just coaching, right? If we just have a better coach, things will work themselves out. Is that what the story is now?
I mean,
huh? What?
A month ago, that was the answer to the question.
Yeah.
God, this is.
Yeah, it's just look. There, say what you will. There's a long way to go. They're 20% through the season, so they're a fifth of the way through the season, but they're 8-9. Like how they're 10th in the East, 10th in the East.
And it's about to be rough for a little while, too, because arguably, like, outside of Trey and DeJounte, your most consistent player, Jalen Johnson, is going to be out for, like, a month and a half.
With the
wrist injury. So, and then you have to play now A.J. Griffin more minutes. And Steve in the broadcast last night made a comment about A.J. Griffin hasn't hit a shot in the last two games. And if he's not hitting shots, he's not good enough out there defensively to justify keeping him out there 16, 17 minutes. Like, what do you do if you can't hit shots then, AJ?
He doesn't do enough other things to elevate the Hawks to win, like his passing or his defense or this or that, if he's not shooting the threes and scoring the basket. But again, it's working out well. It's all coaching, right? If we just get the right coach in here, everything will clear itself up, right? What's our record right now? We're like 6 games above 500.
It's 8-9.
Huh?
We're 5-4 on the road.
Wait a second. I saw the leader in the East is 14-4. Is that not us?
No, we haven't.
Huh?
We played more games. We played one less game than that, though, Chuckery.
Oh, okay.
They played 18 games. We played 17 games.
Oh,
so
okay. That's the difference.
There's the difference.
Yeah,
it's mathematics.
Okay. All right. But just coaching. I mean, just if we just get the right coach in here, everything will work itself out. So, okay. Anyway.
I have worked several Hawks games these past weeks since you haven't had shows. The Indiana game was just inexplicable,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, of course. Like, I mean, there's been a few of those.
It was the seventh time in NBA history that a team scored 150 points and lost. It's like 180-7.
They scored 152 and lost by 5 points.
They lost. They were up 20 in that game. Up 20, and they still lost.
Well, listen, if you just get a better coach in here, that's all it means.
They're scoring, though, man. Hey, it's fun to watch them
score. Yeah, they've always been able to score.
It's fun to watch them score.
How's their defense been? How much better are they on defense this year? What'd they give up? 128 last night, to Donovan Mitchell.
It is a very telling thing right now. When Trae Young is arguably one of your better defenders on the floor.
I mean, listen, Trae's been really good. Trae was really good last year. All right, here we go. 404-726-0929. Why can't we get Kyle Pitts to dominate? Whose fault is it that Kyle Pitts can't dominate? I'm going to break down the numbers. We'll talk about that next. Chuckery hanging out in the Kia Studios Wednesday night with you. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out here in the Kia Studios on this Wednesday evening with you. All right, we're going to open up the phone lines to you. 404-726-0929. Take your phone calls, or they'll answer the phone back there. Here's the question that I'm asking. Okay. Arthur Smith was talking a lot about in the Monday presser and all this kind of stuff about Kyle Pitts and his usage and all these different kinds of things. And when I was listening to it, you know, when they were talking about, well, he's got the second most targets on the team and this, that, and the other. Okay. Relatively speaking, though, that's like being the tallest midget. That's like getting voted nicest guy on death row. That's what that is. When we're talking about targets for the Falcons or this or that or whatever like that, this is supposed to be a guy who dominates at his position. The freakish athlete and this, that, and the other. Okay? Here is the pace that Kyle Pitts is on for this season. 93 targets. And look, I said that he was not going to have the massive amount of targets. He had 110 targets his first year. I thought that number was not going to happen because, again, you were going to have fluctuating quarterbacks. Now, part of it is last year he got hurt. He had 59 targets in the 10 games that he played in. He's got 60 targets in the 11 games that he's played in. So he's on pace for 93 targets, 57 receptions, 682 yards. Now, I could live with those numbers if you told me this number was going to be different. He's on pace for 1.5 touchdowns. 1.5. The actual number is 1.54. He's got one touchdown. Remember when everybody complained about Julio Jones not catching touchdowns? Julio had 20 touchdowns his first 3 years. And by the way, his third year, he only played 5 games. Where does the blame lie? How much is coaching? How much is quarterbacks? How much is Kyle Pitts himself? How much is the idea of Kyle Pitts doesn't get enough separation, doesn't change up the game? This is the highest draft pick the Falcons have had, I believe, since Matt Ryan. Does that sound right? Matt was taken third in the draft. Pitts was taken fourth. Is this the highest draft pick the Falcons have had since we got our franchise borderline Hall of Fame quarterback? Because it's fascinating. I don't think he's a bad player. But do I think that he's a unicorn, a game-changing player? You know, Travis Kelce, when he had Alex Smith, was first team All-Pro. Not when he had Mahomes and all that and Hawkins. He was first team All-Pro even when he had Alex Smith out there. So where does the blame lie in all of this? You know, 93 targets is not a bad number. But how can you have 93 targets and be on pace for less than 2 touchdowns? Why do other teams throw it up for grabs to their best players and we don't throw it up for grabs? Like, what is the difference about him than every other dominant pass catcher? I don't care what position. You can talk about Kelce. You can talk about Justin Jefferson. Whatever positional guy, their job is to catch passes and score touchdowns. So what's the difference? Why are things so different for him? He's had 4 catches the last 2 games. And again, Desmond Ridder, if you look, right now, Pitts has the lowest drop rate of his percentage rate of his career, 1.7. Now, he's also got the lowest yards per reception of his career. His catch percentage is only 61.7. That's his lowest in his career of his 3 years. Why can this guy not? When we see Drake London make these big time catches over the middle of the field, when we see Bijan Robinson get free from people and get mismatches, but we don't ever see that out of Kyle Pitts. 404-726-0929. Let's grab Phil out in Madison. What's going on, Phil?
Hey, I'm driving between Madison and Athens, actually. Listen, I think the Falcons have messed up their draft philosophy. It's like they drafted a bunch of Ferraris to compete in a tractor pool instead of drafting a bunch of tractors.
Well, I get that. And look, by the way, Penei Sewell has the highest run-blocking grade in the NFL. Does anybody know that? Oren, do you know that? Penei Sewell has the highest run-blocking grade in the NFL right now.
I assumed it was high, but I guess I know his running grade is the highest now.
How about this? He's had some problems in pass protection. He has the highest run-blocking grade. How would he look with Lindstrom and him standing side by side? So I don't disagree, but this is supposed to be somebody who changes up the dynamic of the game. Let's grab Mel out in Southwest Atlanta. What's going on, Mel?
You know, it's been a while since I talked to you.
Yeah, I mean, how are you calling Stakey?
I listened to you when you came on, and now you're talking about my favorite topic, this coach. I really don't want to call the name, but I know he's the coach for the Falcons. I think he thinks the fans in this city is Stevie Wonder. Don't put it in here. Listen to you right now talking about, you know, he throw the ball to Pitts. How can you say he got line of tosses? But he don't even, when he's down there in the red zone, he don't even try to throw the ball to Pitts.
Yeah, we talked about this a couple weeks ago.
You kind of criticize Pitts, but he don't even get the discourse, though. He kind of throw the ball to him.
So.
Hold on, Mel.
So none of this is on Kyle Pitts, then? That's what you're telling me? None of this is on Kyle Pitts.
It's like the game Sunday. They were running the ball all the way down to the red zone. And he had a nerve. I'm talking about right before halftime. And he wanted to bring the quarterback for the interception, but they were running the ball all the way down before halftime.
Okay, but that's a separate discussion. Stay on topic. Why doesn't Kyle Pitts dominate the way that other pass catchers do? You mean to tell me that that's all coaching? That it's been 3 years? And we haven't seen him dominate but three times? I mean, I'm sorry, but again, at what point do we start putting some of this at the feet of Kyle Pitts? Ken out in Suwannee. What's going on, Ken?
Man, what's going on, Tucker? How you feeling, man?
Good, buddy.
Man, you gotta love mail. You gotta love mail.
Oh,
but
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah.
I gotta touch on the quarterback on this, man, because what merit did they use, you know, to just say, hey, Ridder's our guy going to the offseason? Because I think they've been deceiving us, man. I think we've been deceived about what he is and isn't. Because, what, Kyle Pitts had his best year with, what, Matt Ryan on the center, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden he just dropped off. So honestly, this is how I feel. I feel like the regime has deceived us about what Ridder is and isn't. He isn't a guy that's going to elevate everyone's play around him, but he is a guy. It's going to turn the ball over at an alarming rate. How can we win with that?
Well, here's an interesting stat for you. Do you know that Jalen Hurts and Desmond Ridder have the most come-from-behind victories in the NFL this year?
Hmm.
I mean, I understand, but mm-hmm. Let me put it like this. We see Bijan dominate at times. We see even Drake mm-hmm. London dominate at times.
Mm-hmm.
How often do we ever see Kyle Pitts dominate? Again, is he not the highest draft pick they have had for this franchise since Matt Ryan?
Man. Well, Falcons, they want to pound they're running, you know, a ground and pound team, right? I think they need to get rid of Trevor Pitts for a better run blocking tight end who can also catch when he needs to.
Well, I mean, it's a conundrum because, again, this is a guy that if you're going to really move forward offensively, you have to have him be the trap. And I keep going back to Kelce because, again, when you draft a guy that high, the expectation is he has the kind of production that those guys have. Let's grab Sam out in College Park. What's going on, Sam?
Hey, you know what? I told people on draft night, this was a horrendous, horrendous, horrendously bad, not just pick, but a horrendously bad idea. Who reboots their franchise with a tight end? Especially at the time when you had no offensive line, you had no quarterback, you had no running game, and you hired a head coach who was a one-dimensional play caller whose offense featured the best running back in football. I could have called plays for Derrick Henry. So the whole process is bad. What is the team's identity? This whole idea of we'll just draft the best available players, what is your philosophy? Do these players fit what it is you're trying to do? Kyle Pitts clearly does not. And even if he did, what production do you expect out of a tight end, again, when there's no offensive line around him at the time, there's no quarterback, and there's no receiving threats on the outside, Calvin Ridley, who's not here anymore, and you have no running game. 3 years later, you have a horrible coach, and you had a general manager who was hired after the coach, so there's no plan in place at all. Drafting Kyle Pitts at fourth overall will go down as one of the most horrendous, horrendous draft day decisions in the history of the NFL, and I told the world that the day they picked him.
Appreciate the phone call. Let's go to Zoe out in College Park as we wrap up. What's going on, Zoe?
Hey, John. What's up, Chuck?
How's it going, buddy?
I'm a season ticket holder. It drives me crazy to see that one of our biggest needs as a pass rusher, that we keep watching John Pierre and people get off, you know, to other teams when we know, okay, let's go to the Kyle Pitts situation. Kyle Pitts just don't have that dog. He don't have that dog in him. Julio had that dog in him. Even when his feet were bothering him, he wanted to be on the field. He wanted to dominate, just like you keep using the word dominate. Tony Gonzalez, this guy supposed to have been, they touted us that he was this huge physical guy. I watched the interview. He's too polished. Then you come to a team with an owner who wants guys to be like quiet boys. You want the dog to be toned down. Take the dog out of him. Football is a barbaric sport. You want somebody who wants to eat their lunch once I cross the white lines. Kyle Pitts don't have that. He's physical. I mean, big, a specimen, and he's got a talent. But does he have that? Even Drake shows some dog. I want to dominate. I want to be the top receiver. Kyle don't show that.
Appreciate.
And it's like you can't.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call. Look, Jonnu Smith's had a better year than what Kyle Pitts has had. Jonnu Smith has been more impactful than what Kyle Pitts has had. And Jonnu Smith had his best years under Arthur Smith when he was in Tennessee. Did I tell you that Penei Sewell has the highest run blocking grade of any lineman in the NFL? Did I tell you that, Oren? That he's number one run blocker? Okay. Anyway. All right. Friend of the show, Tori McElhaney, will join us up next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuck Green Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Wednesday evening with you. 404-726-0929, Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line to be a part of the show. Well, obviously, big win for the Atlanta Falcons, and now another very winnable game. I mean, every game is very winnable the rest of the way here because there are no winning record teams right now on the Falcons' schedule. So we will see what happens as the Jets and Falcons will hook up on Sunday. Tori McElhaney, she's joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. She covers all things Atlanta Falcons for AtlantaFalcons.com. You can check out all of her great work at Tori_McElhaney. Tori, as always, my friend, appreciate a few minutes on the show. As that was, you know, as Arthur Smith said, that was a much, much needed win on Sunday to break that three-game losing streak.
No, it absolutely was. I mean, coming out of not just the losing streak, but kind of coming out of the bye week, and, you know, you want to feel better, because for the last month, the Falcons haven't been feeling pretty good because they've been stacking L's, not W's. So, yeah, this is an important one, not just, I think, for morale, but obviously to keep the conversation around the NFC South flowing. Because I think if you lose to the Saints coming out of the bye week and you're on a 4-game skid at that point, I mean, you feel very, very differently about what the rest of your season could look like.
You know, Tori, the big thing, I guess the big takeaway for me on Sunday was the fact that they got to what I think is Falcons playing personality, and that's running the football. 5.6 mm-hmm. yards per carry, 228 yards on 41 attempts. That's Falcons football. And I know teams are loading up and this and that and whatever like that, but – you know, at times I do feel like that we have gotten away from what our personality is and what we do best. Why do you think that is? Like, why have we seen at times guys have to, you know, whether it's Heinicke, whether it's Desmond Ridder, quarterback, you know, throwing the football 35 times, 38 times. Teams don't, I mean, I don't care if you're the best quarterbacks in the league. Teams don't win when you throw it 40 times a game. You've got to be more balanced than that.
No, yeah, you absolutely do. And I think what was really interesting is every single time you heard comments from opposing defenses, they were kind of saying the same thing. We're going to make the Falcons beat us through the air. We're going to make Desmond Ridder beat us with his arm. And that was something that I vividly remember Aiden Hutchinson saying with Detroit. That was almost a direct quote from him. So, yeah, they were trying to, as teams were, you know, watching more and more film on the Falcons and understanding who they are in comparison to 2021, 2022, you're like, okay, this is a team that wants to dominate at the line of scrimmage, and defenses are really trying to take that away. And I think what was really interesting about this past game is the way the offense operated for the Falcons finally looked a bit like what I thought it was going to look like when you have guys like Cordero Patterson, Tyler Algier, and Bijan Robinson at your disposal in the backfield. I think for a long time, we've been talking about the fact that this is a three-headed monster in the backfield and that you can use these running backs in so many different ways and you can have them play off of each other, et cetera, et cetera. But really and truly, how much have we seen that to this point? Not really a lot. And, you know, I understand that Cordero Patterson was, you know, had the hamstring injury at the beginning of the year. He wasn't probably even back to 100% until well into probably week five, week six. And then, you know, Bijan Robinson, he has the illness down in Tampa Bay, so you can't use him then. And then it's a lot of pressure on Tyler Algier to carry the rock. And I mean, the run game did not look the way that I thought it was going to look. But this past Sunday, it finally did. It finally clicked. And you got to give credit where credit is due with this offensive line and the way that they really were moving the line of scrimmage almost at will. This was probably the best performance I've seen from this offensive line running the ball specifically, and especially against a guy like Cam Jordan on the other side.
Tori McElhaney from AtlantaFalcons.com joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. And I know there are some people that don't want to believe in this, but Desmond Ridder is getting better. But it's still that one or two plays that, you know, the saying about one bad apple spoils the whole bunch?
Right.
It's that one or two kinds of plays that distract you from all of the things that he is growing and learning to do. And that's what's frustrating, because I believe in Desmond Ridder. I'm a huge Desmond Ridder fan. He was my favorite draft pick from the previous year. But it's those one or two plays that he makes that you're like, oh, if he just took away those plays, I mean, he would be exactly the kind of quarterback that this team needs.
Right. And I mean, this is not a new conversation either. I remember having this exact conversation. I don't know if it was with you or with somebody else after the Tampa Bay game. That's a game that they won, but Desmond Ridder had three turnovers inside the 20 mm-hmm. in that game. But they win the game and they move the ball really well, except when they get inside the red zone. And it's like, if you take those specific moments, those fumbles out of the equation, you feel very, very differently about the Falcons in Tampa Bay. You feel very, very differently about Desmond Ridder when he played in that game. And I think that's kind of been the theme for the last few months. I mean, we're only, 2-3 months into the season, but this has been a this has been a theme, and that's something that for Desmond Ridder to get to where he wants to get to, where this Falcons offense needs him to get to, that's what needs to change, taking care of the football. And, you know, there are a lot of variables that I think, you know, go into these turnovers, and I don't think every single turnover is the fault of Desmond Ridder. I think there are, I like to think that there are a lot of nuances that sometimes we don't even know. We don't know what he's being asked to do. But, yes, for the most part, it really is a situation where if the Falcons can hold on to the football, if Desmond Ridder specifically can hold on to the football and keep mistakes and turnovers limited, that doesn't mean you're never going to make mistakes. But if they're not as glaring mistakes as these turnovers have been, then you do feel differently, I think, about what he's doing with this offense, because they are. They're moving the ball, and they're moving the ball well. But almost not, it feels for naught if you can't punch it into the end zone.
Tori, a couple of things that stood out to me when I'm researching my numbers and looking at different things. The Falcons have the third best red zone defense in the NFL right now. And the other number that really stands out to me is they have the sixth best third down defense. Now, third down defense has been a disaster over the last couple of years, especially on some of those thirds and longs that those teams have had. What do you kind of attribute that their numbers, if you look at their overall numbers, they're like 14th in scoring, 11th in total yards. They don't have gaudy numbers across the board, but the gaudy numbers are their red zone defense and their third down defense. What do you kind of attribute the changes for how good they've been, especially in those two areas versus over the last couple of years?
I honestly think it's a mentality, and it's something that I know we're talking about this year, but this is actually something that I even noticed towards the back end of last year too. The back end of last year, even though this defense was giving up a lot of yards, they weren't giving up a lot of touchdowns. I think if you look in the last 8 games that they played last year, they were giving up on average, I want to say less than like 23, 22, 21 points per game. And that's kind of something that we continue to see into this year. The difference with this year, I think, is that third down component. I do believe that they're really turning things on. And I'll say this too. I think that, and I don't know, I don't have the numbers right in front of me to really back it up, but I do think that they're putting more pressure on the offenses that they're facing because they are getting them in third and long situations. And so third and long situations are usually more beneficial for a defensive game plan. So I think it's a little bit of that, but more than anything, I think it really is just this defense being able to almost flip a switch, particularly when they get inside the 20-yard line, and to kind of go out and be like, we may bend a little, but we're not going to break. And I think that's honestly been a theme of this defense, I'm going to say, even for the last year. I'd go back to November of last year, and I started to feel that way at that point. I think it's only gotten better as this year has gone on with, you know, players with some big contracts who are making some big-time plays like Jesse Bates in the red zone this past week.
Tori, we were having this discussion here just in the previous segment, and I know I know what Arthur Smith said at the beginning of the week, because he was talking about Kyle Pitts and just the targets and all this kind of stuff, and he's working his way back in. But, you know, we don't see enough of those moments from Kyle Pitts where he is supposed to dominate. And you know, again, whether it's fair or not fair, you know, we look at the draft pick status. Look, he's the highest draft pick since Matt Ryan, who was their borderline franchise Hall of Fame, you know, quarterback and all that, and stabilized that position for a decade plus, you know, 12, 14 years or whatever like that. But I see that in Drake London with the way he catches the ball in traffic. I see the way Bijan Robinson has that look about him. But I don't see enough of Kyle Pitts. I don't see enough of the Travis Kelce and those kinds. Look, I'll say, I think Jonnu Smith has had a better year at the tight end, whatever slash position you want to put him in. I think he's had a better year than Pitts, and I know Pitts is coming back from the injury. But just why do we not see more of those kinds of dominant moments from Kyle Pitts?
I mean, it's a great question, and I feel like if I had the answer to that, I'd probably be making a lot more money than I make now. But I say that, but when you think about it, I'll give the benefit of the doubt, because I don't know, again, this goes back to the conversation we were having with about Desmond Ridder, is that I don't know what the play call is. You know, I don't know what the progression is in any given moment of who's your first read, who's your second read, who's your third, and so on and so forth. So in saying that, I don't know where he is in that chopping block. And so for Kyle Pitts, you think the whole reason you get him at number four overall and why he's called the unicorn and why he's, you know, one of the most fascinating and tight ends to ever go through the draft. I mean, all of those things that we heard about him going through the pre-draft evaluation process, it's like, the reason you got him was because of the matchup, the mismatches that he presents with defenses. So I don't know if maybe defenses are keying up to that. And because the tight end position, I think, has evolved here almost like exponentially in the last 5 years, if that's maybe no longer the case. I mean, I don't know for sure. The only thing I know is that there are a lot of moving parts, and it's not just like, oh, well, Kyle Pitts wasn't open there, or Kyle Pitts didn't do this, or Kyle Pitts didn't do that. It's all about the play call, and it's also, I think, this is something that I think gets overlooked. Like, Desmond Ridder he's making the decision. When he's throwing the ball, he's making a conscious decision as to who he is going to, just with the situation at hand, and also what the defense is giving him. So to put, like, oh, why isn't Kyle Pitts doing X, Y, or Z numbers? I can't answer that, because I just think there's too many things that, one, I don't know, and two, I'm not in the head of Arthur Smith or Desmond Ridder.
Well, it's going to be a good test because, again, this may be the best secondary in the NFL that the Falcons are going up against in the Jets, and they maybe have the best cornerback in all of the NFL. So it will be interesting, but it's certainly a winnable game. Tori McElhaney covers the Atlanta Falcons for AtlantaFalcons.com. Check her out on her personal Twitter page, @Tori_McElhaney. Tori, as always, thank you for a few minutes, and we will chat again very soon.
Looking forward to it. Have a good one.
You got it. When we get back from the top of the hour, we'll be time for the Falcons flyover. I got a fun stat for Oren about where the Falcons are in this division.
I like fun stats.
Yes. Well, that's what I give you. Well, it could be a whole myriad of things.
It better be Falcons related,
okay,
John Shepard.
Okay, it will be. It will be, because I've got some other good stuff. Anyway.
No, no.
Huh? What? Okay. All right, and then we'll get to the flyover here in just a few minutes. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at it. Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Wednesday evening with you. 404-726-0929, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, obviously, big win for the Atlanta Falcons, and now another very winnable game. I mean, every game is very winnable the rest of the way here because there are no winning record teams right now on the Falcons' schedule. So we will see what happens as the Jets and Falcons will hook up on Sunday. Tori McElhaney, she's joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. She covers all things Atlanta Falcons for AtlantaFalcons.com. You can check out all of her great work at Tori_McElhaney. Tori, as always, my friend, appreciate a few minutes on the show. As that was, you know, as Arthur Smith said, that was a much, much needed win on Sunday to break that three-game losing streak.
No, it absolutely was. I mean, coming out of not just the losing streak, but kind of coming out of the bye week, and, you know, you want to feel better because for the last month, the Falcons haven't been feeling pretty good because they've been stacking L's, not W's. So, yeah, this is an important one, not just, I think, for morale, but obviously to keep the conversation around the NFC South flowing, because I think if you lose to the Saints coming out of the bye week and you're on a four-game skid at that point, I mean, you feel very, very differently about what the rest of your season could look like.
You know, Tori, the big thing, I guess the big takeaway for me on Sunday was the fact that they got to what I think is Falcons playing personality, and that's running the football. 5.6 yards per carry, 228 yards on 41 attempts. That's Falcons football. And I know teams are loading up and this and that and whatever like that, but, you know, at times I do feel like that we have gotten away from what our personality is and what we do best. Why do you think that is? Like, why have we seen at times guys have to, you know, whether it's Heinicke, whether it's Desmond Ridder, quarterback, you know, throwing the football 35 times, 38 times. Teams don't, I mean, I don't care if you're the best quarterbacks in the league. Teams don't win when you throw it 40 times a game. You've got to be more balanced than that.
No, yeah, you absolutely do. And I think what was really interesting is every single time you heard comments from opposing defenses, they were kind of saying the same thing. We're going to make the Falcons beat us through the air. We're going to make Desmond Ridder beat us with his arm. And that was something that I vividly remember Aiden Hutchinson saying with Detroit. That was almost a direct quote from him. So, yeah, they were trying to, as teams were, you know, watching more and more film on the Falcons and understanding who they are in comparison to 2021, 2022, you're like, okay, this is a team that wants to dominate at the line of scrimmage, and defenses are really trying to take that away. And I think what was really interesting about this past game is the way the offense operated for the Falcons finally looked a bit like what I thought it was going to look like when you have guys like Cordero Patterson, Tyler Algier, and Bijan Robinson at your disposal in the backfield. I think for a long time, we've been talking about the fact that this is a three-headed monster in the backfield and that you can use these running backs in so many different ways and you can have them play off of each other, et cetera, et cetera. But really and truly, how much have we seen that to this point? Not really a lot. And, you know, I understand that Cordero Patterson was, you know, had the hamstring injury at the beginning of the year. He wasn't probably even back to 100%. until well into probably week five, week six. And then, you know, Bijan Robinson, he has the illness down in Tampa Bay, so you can't use him then. And then it's a lot of pressure on Tyler Allgeier to carry the rock. And I mean, it was just, it didn't, the run game did not look the way that I thought it was going to look. But this past Sunday, it finally did. It finally clicked. And you got to give credit where credit is due with this offensive line and the way that they really were moving the line of scrimmage almost at will. This was probably the best performance I've seen from this offensive line running the ball specifically, and especially against a guy like Cam Jordan on the other side.
Torrey McElhaney from AtlantaFalcons.com joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. And I know there are some people that don't want to believe in this, but Desmond Ridder is getting better. But it's still that one or two plays that, you know, the saying about one bad apple spoils the whole bunch?
Right.
It's that one or two kinds of plays that distract you from all of the things that he is growing and learning to do. And that's what's frustrating, because I believe in Desmond Ridder. I'm a huge Desmond Ridder fan. He was my favorite draft pick from the previous year. But it's those one or two plays that he makes that you're like, oh, if he just took away those plays, I mean, he would be exactly the kind of quarterback that this team needs.
Right. And I mean, this is not a new conversation either. I remember having this exact conversation. I don't know if it was with you or with somebody else after the Tampa Bay game. That's a game that they won, but Desmond Ridder had three turnovers inside the 20 in that game. But they win the game and they move the ball really well, except when they get inside the red zone. And it's like, if those things, if you take those specific moments, those fumbles out of the equation, you feel very, very differently about the Falcons in Tampa Bay. You feel very, very differently about Desmond Ridder when he played in that game. And I think that's kind of been the theme for the last few months. I mean, we're only, what, 2-3 months into the season, but this has been a theme. And that's something that for Desmond Ridder to get to where he wants to get to, where this Falcons offense needs him to get to, that's what needs to change, taking care of the football. And you know, there are a lot of variables that I think, you know, go into these turnovers, and I don't think every single turnover is the fault of Desmond Ridder. I think I like to think that there are a lot of nuances that sometimes we don't even know. We don't know what he's being asked to do. But yes, for the most part, it really is a situation where if the Falcons can hold on to the football, if Desmond Ridder specifically can hold on to the football and keep mistakes and turnovers limited, that doesn't mean you're never going to make mistakes, but if they're not as glaring mistakes as these turnovers have been, then you do feel differently, I think, about what he's doing with this offense, because they're moving the ball and they're moving the ball well, but it feels for naught if you can't punch it into the end zone.
Torrey, a couple of things that stood out to me when I'm researching my numbers and looking at different things. The Falcons have the third best red zone defense in the NFL right now. And the other number that really stands out to me is they have the sixth best third down defense. Now, third down defense has been a disaster over the last couple of years, especially on some of those thirds and longs that those teams have had. What do you kind of attribute that their numbers, if you look at their overall numbers, they're like 14th in scoring, 11th in total yards. They don't have gaudy numbers across the board, but the gaudy numbers are their red zone defense and their third down defense. What do you kind of attribute the changes for how good they've been, especially in those two areas, versus over the last couple of years?
I honestly think it's a mentality, and it's something that I know we're talking about this year, but this is actually something that I even noticed towards the back end of last year too. The back end of last year, even though this defense was giving up a lot of yards, they weren't giving up a lot of touchdowns. I think if you look in the last 8 games that they played last year, they were giving up on average, I want to say less than like 23, 22, 21 points per game. And that's kind of something that we continue to see into this year. The difference with this year, I think, is that third down component. I do believe that they're really turning things on. And I'll say this too. I think that, and I don't have the numbers right in front of me to really back it up, but I do think that they're putting more pressure on the offenses that they're facing because they are getting them in third and long situations. And so third and long situations are usually more beneficial for a defensive game plan. So I think it's a little bit of that, but more than anything, I think it really is just this defense being able to almost flip a switch, particularly when they get inside the 20-yard line, and to kind of go out and be like, we may bend a little, but we're not going to break. And I think that's honestly been a theme of this defense. I'm going to say even for the last year, I'd go back to November of last year, and I started to feel that way at that point. I think it's only gotten better as this year has gone on with, you know, players with some big contracts who are making some big-time plays like Jesse Bates in the red zone this past week.
Torrey, we were having this discussion here just in the previous segment, and I know what Arthur Smith said at the beginning of the week, because he was talking about Kyle Pitts and just the targets and all this kind of stuff, and he's working his way back in. But, you know, we don't see enough of those moments from Kyle Pitts where he is supposed to dominate. And you know, again, whether it's fair or not fair, you know, we look at the draft pick status. Look, he's the highest draft pick since Matt Ryan, who was their borderline franchise Hall of Fame, you know, quarterback and all that, and stabilized that position for a decade plus, you know, 12, 14 years or whatever like that. But I see that in Drake London with the way he catches the ball in traffic. I see the way Bijan Robinson has that look about him. But I don't see enough of Kyle Pitts. I don't see enough of the Travis Kelce and those kinds. Look, I'll say, I think Jonnu Smith has had a better year at the tight end, whatever slash position you want to put him in. I think he's had a better year than Pitts, and I know Pitts is coming back from the injury. But just why do we not see more of those kinds of dominant moments from Kyle Pitts?
I mean, it's a great question, and I feel like if I had the answer to that, I'd probably be making a lot more money than I make now. But I say that, but when you think about it, I'll give the benefit of the doubt, because I don't know. Again, this goes back to the conversation we were having with about Desmond Ridder, is that I don't know what the play call is. You know, I don't know what the progression is in any given moment of who's your first read, who's your second read, who's your third, and so on and so forth. So in saying that, I don't know where he is in that chopping block. And so for Kyle Pitts, you think the whole reason you get him at number 4 overall and why he's called the unicorn and why he's, you know, one of the most fascinating and tight ends to ever go through the draft. I mean, all of those things that we heard about him going through the pre-draft evaluation process, it's like, the reason you got him was because of the mismatches that he presents with defenses. So I don't know if maybe defenses are keying up to that, and because the tight end position, I think, has evolved here almost like exponentially in the last 5 years, if that's maybe not no longer the case. I mean, I don't know for sure. The only thing I know is that there are a lot of moving parts, and it's not just like, oh, well, Kyle Pitts wasn't open there, or Kyle Pitts didn't do this, or Kyle Pitts didn't do that. It's all about the play call, and it's also, I think, this is something that I think gets overlooked. Like, Desmond Ridder he's making the decision. When he's throwing the ball, he's making a conscious decision as to who he is going to, just with the situation at hand, and also what the defense is giving him. So to put, like, oh, why isn't Kyle Pitts doing X, Y, or Z numbers? I can't answer that, because I just think there's too many things that, one, I don't know, and two, I'm not in the head of Arthur Smith or Desmond Ridder.
Well, it's going to be a good test, because, again, this may be the best secondary in the NFL that the Falcons are going up against in the Jets, and they maybe have the best cornerback in all of the NFL. So it will be interesting, but it's certainly a winnable game. Torrey McElhaney covers the Atlanta Falcons for AtlantaFalcons.com. Check her out on her personal Twitter page, @Torrey_McElhaney. Torrey, as always, thank you for a few minutes, and we will chat again very soon.
Looking forward to it. Have a good one.
You got it.
Out the window.
When we get back from the top of the hour, we'll be time for the Falcons flyover. I got a fun stat for Oren about where the Falcons are in this division.
I like fun stats.
Yes. Well, that's what I give you. Well, it could be a whole myriad of things.
It better be Falcons related,
okay,
John Shuck.
Okay, it will be. It will be, because I've got some other good stuff. Anyway.
No.
Huh? What? Okay. All right, and then we'll get to the flyover here in just a few minutes. Chuck Green, Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.